These shows are training ground for us. You know, we could, I know I like to speak or whatever, but we're in training. You know, God gives us like 30 minutes, 25 minutes. We want to be obedient to what God is giving to us. So we're learning right now. We have been in preparation for this time. But Psalms 81 says 10, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth and I will fill it. He's not just talking to Pastor Dennis and I. He's talking to the preachers and the leaders and the teachers in the house. Amen. He says, open your mouth and I will fill it. And showing mercy, Deuteronomy 5:10. Deuteronomy 5:10 says, do you have that up there? Oh, it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So God is not just talking to you and me. He's talking to thousands. He's talking to people in this hour. That's who's going to listen. God had spoke to our spirit to say that God was going to bring people. We need help in the house of God here. There's been so much that when we were over at the other church, God says that we're to expand our borders. We're to go outside of the walls. It's not about staying in the church. It's about bringing others into the kingdom of God. How long have you been in the kingdom of God? How long have you been in the church? How long have you invited anybody to church? This is the hour that God says that you go knock at somebody's door, they're going to come. But it's going to take a people to do that. Amen. And so that's where we're at right now. The Lord had taken me to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And go ahead and go to 1 Chronicles. If you guys could please open up your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, I think there's some Bibles in the back. Please, please bring your Bible. Because we believe in reading our Bible. And even if you have your phone and you have the app, open up your Bible. The Lord wants to talk to you. I know that we have a lot of people in this house that's been so faithful in their walk with God. But God is asking for more of us. Amen. He's asking for more. So what I want to do is go ahead and read 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 1. I had got up and I told my husband I had to break it down and cut it down a little bit because I had so much to say. So I just really need the Holy Spirit right now. It says on 1 Chronicles, this was a time when everybody knows the story. And if you don't know the story, read the story about David and Solomon. You know the story that God called David to be king of Israel forever. And then he said to David, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He told David that he would be king of Israel forever, but he will not build the house. His son was going to build the house, just paraphrasing. So when he told his son that he was going to build the house, you know, David was a man of God's, after God's heart. We know the story about David. David did a lot of things for God, but he was a man of war. And because he was a man of war, Solomon was a man of peace. So God is giving us peace in this hour. He's going to give you peace because how many know that we need peace? We need to have confirmation of the things that we're doing. Amen. But he says to David, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offerings of Israel. 5:5. It goes on to saying, I got to read this. I was going to look up there, but that is not helping me at all. It goes on to saying, and David said this, 5, Solomon, my son, young and inexperienced. I spoke yesterday, I don't care if you're 25 years old, 21 years old, or 60 years old. Everybody comes to know the Lord at a certain time in their life, but we come in with being inexperienced. When I first got saved, I didn't know who Jesus was. But right now, God is saying to us that it doesn't matter our age. God is calling a people out right now. My spirit is 12 years old. I might be this, you know, an older woman, but my spirit is 12. And he's calling out a people right now. But he tells his son again, he says, now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. And the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the countries. I will now make preparation for it. God is now with United in Him making preparation for us to, we moved and we're going to grow. Amen. Amen. Verses 8, jump down to verse 8. It goes on to saying, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have great wars. You shall not build my house. You shall not build my house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. So be careful what you're doing in God's sight. I'm just going to tell you this. We need to be careful what we're doing in God's sight because it's not about Dennis and I, Pastor and Dennis, and what you're doing in front of me. It doesn't matter what you guys do in front of me. It's what you do in front of God. What are we doing behind the doors or behind when you're not in front of God, if you think that God's not watching? He watched everything that David did, and he told David, because you are a man of war, you will not build the house, but you will be king forever. Amen. He still blessed him down the road. But 9 through 13, I'm going to read 9 through 13 for time's sake. It goes on, behold, a son shall be born to you. You shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies. So God is giving us rest from all our enemies. His name shall be called Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. Goes on to saying, he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. It goes on to say, now my son, may the Lord be with you. Now my son, may the Lord be with you. Now my son, may the Lord be with you. Now my daughter, may the Lord be with you. And may you prosper. May you prosper. I'm telling somebody, may you prosper. Somebody should receive that right now. May you prosper. Amen. And build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you. What has God saying to you in this hour? We need help to build the house of God. Are you here to help build the house of God? Amen. I need you to hear this. He says, if you do this, I will prosper you. God has blessed Dennis and I. God has blessed you. But the blessings are not just for us to sit on them. It's to give out. Whether it's a blessing to teach, preach, work, administration, whatever the gift is that God has given to you. Amen? Let's just jump down to verse 17. David also commanded all the leaders. I'm commanding all the leaders right now in the house of God. To help, he said, to help Solomon, his son. We need help. Pastor needs help. I need help. There's no reason why on a Thursday, and I'm not getting on anybody. I'm not mad. I'm yelling. I'm just talking. This is the way I am. There's no reason why we should not have more teachers on Thursday night. Because if you teach, you'll learn. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know the Bible. You'll learn with the kids, and the kids don't have no clue that you don't know what you're saying. They're saying, teacher. They'll call you teacher, and then you walk right into the gift of a teacher. Amen? That's what happened to me. When I first got saved, I went and I taught the little babies. And what did, you know, they didn't know. I just got saved. I came out of a mess. But I was willing to go into the class because God told me, you need to start from the bottom up. I was in the nursery. Then I went to the kindergartners. Then I went up to the first grade, second grade, sixth grade, junior high, high school, adults. And then I was teaching the Bible college. That only comes from God because I was willing to start here. We cannot ever start up here and think that we're going to be somebody. We got to start here. So we need help. David tells the people, the leaders, go help Solomon. I didn't say that. David commanded all the priests to help Solomon. Help Pastor Dennis. Help Pastor Pete. Help Pastor Ricardo. Help us. Is it not the Lord your God with you? I know that God is with us, because if he wasn't, we wouldn't be here right now. If God was not with us and if God was not for us, we would not be here. Amen? Going on to saying verse 18. Is it not the Lord God with you? And has he not given you rest on the other side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into your hand and the land to subdue before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for his name. This house is to be built for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. Set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord your God, what you're able to do for the house of God. Don't do anything with an unwilling heart just because we're asking. We're asking people to step up and help. This is a time when David and Solomon was about to build the temple. And the reason why Solomon got to build the temple is he prayed a prayer. Everybody knows the prayer he prayed. But if you don't know the prayer he prayed, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for more. He asked for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he may be able to judge the people, that he may be able to talk to the people and give them the right advice. That's what he asked God for. Amen. We're asking God to give us the wisdom, Lord, of how to run the church. How are we to? It took us a long journey. Yet even though that God is, setting us up and he set you up and you've been through a lot of things, have you not? See, Dennis and I have been through so much in the past 20 years. It's been a long journey. I don't know about you, but if it's been easy for you, I don't know. But for Dennis and I, it was not an easy road. We've been through so much. We've been through so many obstacles. We've been through so many trials, tribulations, heartbreak, heartache. We've been through disappointments. Anybody else? Anybody else? But God, this message is a season of promise. But God and his promises are yes and amen. Amen. God is about to repay. He's about to repay his servants because of the faithfulness and obedience that you have been. And even that you're here and you're visiting, I want to say thank you because there's a reason why you're here this morning to hear this message which God is speaking in this hour to the body of Christ. Amen. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Just jump over. There was so much in this. So much. He told him how to build. The Lord told David how to do it. The Lord spoke to Solomon how to do it. Now the Lord is speaking to us how we should do the house of God. Amen. Verses 28, verses 3. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed shed blood. So this is, again, God repeats this to David. David knows he wasn't going to do it. Verses 5. And all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen Solomon. God has chosen you. Put your name in that. God has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Verses 8, for time's sake. Now, therefore, in the sight of all of Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess in the good land, and that leave it for an inheritance for our children. See, this is not about just us serving God. This is about imparting the word of God into our children. This is about the inheritance that God has given to us. He says, for all of you to keep his commandments, keep his ordinance, keep his statutes, keep his laws. And if you don't know the laws, statutes, and commandments, but I think everybody here that you guys are pretty much mature in the things of God. You know right from wrong. So if you're doing wrong, just stop it. That's it. Just stop it. Repent and move on. That's it. No big deal. We're not going to make a big deal about it because guess what? You have to ask for forgiveness from God, not me. Amen. And going on to verses 9. And thou, Solomon, Solomon, my son, knows that the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. We need to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So this is the word of God, amen? Verses 10, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. We talked about Joshua, Pastor Ricardo was talking about Joshua, occupying and possessing the land. And we've been hearing those messages. And the same thing here, he says, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you. So if you're here and if God has chosen you to do something for the house of God, and you're not doing it, what did it say? What did it say prior to that, verse 9? What did it say? Amen? Take heed, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house. Be strong and do it. Just do it. That's all we're saying. It's not hard. The Lord God told Dennis and I, bring the simplicity back into the house of God. It's not hard. There's nothing that God is saying to us that you can't understand. Amen? 2 Chronicles, let's jump to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now we're in 2 Chronicles. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation. And he stood, if you know the story, that's Solomon. And he stood before the altar. Let me just get there because there is something that I wanted to say here. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the assembly of Israel and spread out his wings. For Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and he set it in the midst of the courts. And he stood on it, and he kneeled down before all the assemblies and spread out his hands. I need to show you something here. So Solomon built a bronze platform. But in the study, when you're studying this, Solomon had built a platform. And when Solomon had built this platform, it says that the platform was not a regular feature of the temple, but a stage. It was a stage. The platform that he built was a stage. And when God showed me this building, because with the stage, you know, you look so high and we don't want to stand up here, so we're going to stand there. But it says here that the bronze platform was not a regular feature of the temple, but a stage constructed for Solomon to speak or her for speech so that the assemblies outside of the walls could see him. Because God is going to grow the church, they need to see him. God is going to grow us in the things of God, so they need to see him. This is no mistake that God has given this, because he wants to hear what we're saying on the stage, on the bronze on platform. What God has given to Solomon, for he made a bronze a basin and tells you how to do it, but then he comes and he kneels down. And before everybody, he spreads out his hands and he prays. He prays and he asks the Lord. He needs guidance from the Lord. We need guidance from God. He comes and he says there's a platform that needed to be made. And this is no mistake where God has given us. He had mercy, God's mercy, faithfulness, and covenant. Made so much sense to everyone. Right now, the covenant of God that you have made should make so much sense to you, why you're here, why God called you into the kingdom of God. It makes so much sense to me. It should make so much sense to you why you're here. He says that mercy is God's loyalty. God's mercy is his loyalty. Are we loyal to God? Have we been loyal to God? It says that God's mercy is his loyalty to his servants who walk before him with all their hearts. So we need to walk before God. I'm not saying this personally to anyone, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. If you need to be more obedient, or if you need to look at what God has called you, that this church will be full. This church will be full in a matter of a few days. You know, we could have a party and have food and we could invite a lot of this place will be full on November the 2nd because we know a lot of people. We want to invite our friends and family. But what about the neighborhoods? What about those that are not saved? What about those that are lost and going to hell? What about the unsaved people? That's what we should be looking at. Amen. Solomon prayed that his people would stay faithful and forgive. I'm praying right now that God's people here in this church will stay faithful to him. I'm praying and that you will forgive. If there's any unforgiveness in your heart about anything, let it go. Let it go. You'll stay stuck. God told me to say this. I had no idea. But God says that you need to let go some stuff and forgive and just keep on walking. Keep on going. Because you're the one that's going to stay stuck. I remember that I hurt somebody and I said something to correct somebody years ago. I want to say maybe back in 2002, 2003. I was a type that when I seen what was not of God, I would just speak it out. I had to learn. Trust me, I don't get away with anything. But this person got hurt of something that I said. They held on to it for a whole year. And I'm out there worshiping God and I'm praising God and I'm having a good old time in church and I'm not even thinking about anything that I said to hurt anybody. Because a lot of times people don't even know that you're offended with them. A lot of times people don't even know that you have unforgiveness And I remember we had a service, and Pastor Ken had said, if there's been any offense to anybody, can you go? You've been in a church when they do that. This young girl came over to me, but I'm out here worshiping God, and I'm praising God, and she comes to me, and she asks us for forgiveness because she had been mad at me for over a year. And I looked at her. I said, you got to be kidding. And she thought I knew. I said, you got to be kidding. I hurt you. What did I do? And it was just something really, really small that I thought, but it was so great to her that she stayed away. She was offended. She was hurt. She didn't want to teach. She didn't want to come. She was a young girl at that time, a young girl, maybe 18, 19 years old. And I said, my dear, I had no idea that I hurt you. And she was asking me for forgiveness because she was mad at me. And I looked at her and I said, oh my God, I had no idea. Because if I knew that, how could I be up here worshiping God and praising God and doing the things that I think that's right? And she said, well, and she told me what I had did. And I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Just that simple. I'm so sorry. And I told her, please, as long as you stay in the church, don't ever let anybody keep you bound like that for a year. Don't ever let anybody make you feel less than, because I never knew that I was treating you or I said something to make you feel like that. Don't ever let anybody do that to you again. Because see, if they don't know, how would they know if you won't tell them? I got hurt. You said something that offended me. And you know, it'll keep you stuck. It'll keep you down. And I'm not willing to let anything like that for my life. So through the years of my being in church, I've offended, I've hurt, I've been corrected, I've been set down. Look, correct me if I need to be corrected. Because all this time and all these years that you've been in church, God says to look at the last 25 years of your life. I don't get away with anything. You're not going to get away with anything. If you do something wrong, just say I'm sorry. A lot of people don't know how to say it. I'm sorry. I'm not telling them I'm sorry. They're not going to get me to tell them I'm sorry because we have such a pride. But see, God has to take all that pride, and so we need to forgive. He says to tell the people, make sure that they're faithful and that they forgive. So we need to forgive. And he also said to tell the members that you are responsible for your own sins. See, Solomon went up to pray. David prayed for the people, but Solomon says to tell the people that you're responsible for your own sins. I'm not responsible for what you do. Pastor's not responsible for what you do. All we are doing here is just giving the word what God gives to us. And if God is speaking to us these things, he's speaking to you and I. Amen. He says to tell them, chapter 2, Chronicles 7:11. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 7:11. It goes on to saying, because I really jumped here, that when Solomon had, it says that on verse 11, I forgot that I jumped over because of time. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make the house of God his own house. Make this your house, people. Make this your house. It does not belong to Pastor and Dennis. When you walk in, take care of it like it's your own. Make this your house. God has invited you into this house. I'm going to read that again. Verses 11. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prospered. But look at this. What was amazing to me with this, that the king's house refers to Solomon's own palace. So King Solomon had to build his house first. Literally, his palace was being built prior to building the house of God. God had to build me and Pastor Dennis first. It took 13 years for Solomon to build his own house. How many years has God taken it to build your house? The house. What is your house? The house. It took Solomon 13 years, but it took 20 years to complete the whole thing. So Solomon started working on his own self and his own house. So we have to work on our own self. How could I go into the house of God and try to build a house of God if I'm with all kinds of junk? Amen? How can I not be full? But God's grace and mercy upon us, because he knows that we've been called by God, not by man, because man would not call us. Solomon finished the king's house, referring to Solomon's own place. It took him 13 years. Anybody? Has anybody gone through anything? And then it took them 20 years. So God said to Ty, look back at the last 20 years of your life. You're right where you're supposed to be. If you wouldn't have gone to the right or to the left, because some of us go to the right and the left. How many people have ever, you know, just wandered off? I've wandered off. But he's saying, stay focused. Stay focused. God's promise that we will dwell in the land safely. These are some promises that God had promised, a season of promise. God's promise that we will dwell in the land safely. Are you dwelling in the land? Are you in your house? Are you all full in your house? If you got everything going on in your own house, now it's time to step in the Father's house. Now it's time to build the sanctuary of the Lord. Amen. Now it's time for us to do that. He says that you will dwell in safety and that there'll be peace in your land. God wants you to have peace. I have the peace like never before. I have that peace. He says, clean out the old stuff and let the new come in. Clean it out and bring the new. And then the most important thing, don't we want to be in the presence of God? The presence is where I want to be. It's the presence that I want to be. That this is what we should be longing for, you know, wanting the presence of God. God says it, and then I'll walk among you. Then you'll know that I'm in that house. Then you know I'm walking with them. I know God's walking with us. I know that we're just two foolish people that God has called, but to confound the wise. Because there's more people wiser in their own eyes thinking that, oh, look at me, because we see it all the time happening. And my husband tells me, you know, tone it down a little bit. But God's given me more of a heart and a clarity to speak that you could understand what I'm saying. Because I get excited about the things of God. We should be so excited right now about the things of God. If you were standing right here and you look at everybody, you would just think, Lord, am I the only one excited? Am I the only one excited? We need to thank Jesus for who he is. Amen. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. I serve the God of Abraham. And God says that I'll be your God and you'll be my people. Very simple. If you worship me, serve me, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And he says that the true heart of God. You know what the true heart of God is? To come in and reverence the house of God. To reverence the house of God. You know, the Lord spoke to me that, you know, why we hadn't been able to purchase a building. You know, buildings cost millions of dollars. These people paid $3.5 million to purchase this property, okay, out of their own pocket. But the Lord was telling me as I was doing the study, it's okay to not own property. It's okay because everything belongs to God. He told us it's okay that we're just sojourners passing through because everything belongs to God. And if God wants us to have it, then so be it. How be it that God would entrust us to come here with the finances already that went before us? That whether it's our place or not, it belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Your house, my house, and everybody else's house belongs to God. So everything belongs to God. David was a man of war. He was the underdog. Solomon was a man of peace. Where do you fit in this? But David did not gloat over Saul's death. So we don't gloat over anybody's failures. Amen. We want to pray for them. We want to bless them. We want to bless people. Yet we've experienced a lot in our life. He says, bless those that have offended you. Bless your enemies. Bless the people. And David and Solomon are such great examples of what we're to do. David's faults, I want you to hear this. Does anybody have any faults here? Do you ever get mad? Are you ever driving and you're looking and somebody cuts you off? I wanted to know why. I wanted to know why God had to show me about David. That King David, God had to show me why my husband, when my husband gets mad, women that have husbands, you ever look at your husband and you want to just kick him and just tell him, stop it? Or the wife, the husband kicks the wife, stop it. I wanted to know, God, how could you love the way you love? Because we're such a mess. We're such a failure. We could have so many faults. But the Lord showed me to David that David had to have these faults that just to keep them human, because see, David was a king. David was a king of Israel. And sometimes it could take you up so high that you think you're somebody. And then when you find out that you're nobody without God, that there's faults to keep you to remind that you're just a human being, that we're just people. So who am I to say, oh God, look at my husband? Who am I to say, oh God, look at that one? He says, don't look at anybody, but look at yourself. He said, because I love that one and they're under construction in my life. I'm looking at them. How could I do that, God? But this is why King David had to have faults, because if he didn't, he would be way out there thinking he's God. Because that'll happen. That could happen. And I know for myself, Solomon was peace. I'm asking God for the peace that surpasses all understanding for each and every one of us here. I'm asking him for peace. Also, I wanted to say this, that if you read the story, which is so amazing to me, that if you read the story, it goes on to saying that the temple, they had windows. They had windows. It says that in the temple, there were windows, narrow. There were narrow windows in the inside. This was in the Word of God. And he says that the temple's windows were narrow inside. And it was narrow so that it says that inside and a widening outward, that in order to send the light. See, so God is bringing light into here. Those windows were not accident to bring, because when you're walking here and you come in here when the lights are on, it's day, the light just beams right in. And in there, they had these windows that were, they had beams. So it's all about the souls. Amen. It's all about the souls. This house, this building, God said to say that it's all about the souls. This building is not for us to make a home. It's not for us to make a home. It's for us to make a message for people to come in. Don't get comfortable. Because what did God say? Nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to him. But it's for us to make a place for a message for people that are coming, that are hurting. And just to give a word of encouragement. This also says that the Lord says to embrace, that we need to embrace in knowledge of love. We need to embrace in knowledge of love. There was a woman yesterday that talked about love with the roses. I forget her name, but I'm telling you, people, do not judge a book by its cover. Don't look at somebody and say, oh my God, who is that? Who is she? Because you never know who these people are. There was a woman that came in there. She was a Jewish woman. She has a show. She has a program. I said, oh, who's that? You know, and I'm thinking, oh my God. My husband and I were sitting there. That lady got up on the stage. She started, and we were ready to leave, but we kept staying. We kept staying. We ended up staying a little longer than we kept saying, we're going to go. She opened her mouth. She started worshiping, and me and my husband are crying, crying, crying. And she looked like she I tell you, she was just dressed, you know, not dressed up or anything. You would really mistake in her, you know, that she's, there's no way. That woman opened up her mouth, and I said, oh, my God. There was another lady that was, don't look at people. Oh, look at that. There was another lady that came up, they introduced, because all these people have shows and stuff. They sing, they're worshipers. We don't know. And she introduces herself. She goes, yep, I'm cute. She goes something like this, yes, and I'm cute. And she's doing this all over the place, and she had this beautiful spirit. And I'm like, who's that? You know, like, what does she do? Oh, my God. She was a worshiper. She got up on the stage, boom, started speaking and me praying, and I'm crying. I'm like, oh, my God. So people, when people come in, don't look at them any funny way, because you have no clue what gift God has in them. Amen. This is the end of this. I'm going to go ahead and close this with this. God wants brotherhood. Amen. He wants unity and brotherhood, compassion and affection towards one another. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for a house with brotherhood, unity, compassion, love, affection, and know that God is our supreme God. That just knows that Jesus is our Savior. I was in the Old Testament, but I want to close out with Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. Luke chapter 1. I know I was in the Old Testament. I know that that God speaks to us very loud. I know that we're under the new covenant. Jesus came to save a people, to save a dying nation. He came to save the Jews. But right here in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33 is what I'm going to read. This is the birth of Jesus that was coming. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. I'm going to glorify Jesus' name right now. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father, David, Jesus. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. There is no end to God's kingdom. There is no end to God's laws. There's no end to God's love. He's called us to be a people to love. Jesus came to a dying world to save a people. Oh, yes, it says to the Jew first and to the Greek. But when we come to study the Word of God, it's about having brotherhood, compassion, love, doing the work that God's called us to do. This was a message for us as a church because we just made a move. And God wants to do something in this church. And I know that God has brought you, called you, handpicked you. And you say, what am I doing here? Trust me, God has a work for you and I. Amen. And if we could do this work, for you and I together, can you believe how many souls we could bring into the kingdom of God? Amen.